I want to talk tonight about choices and decisions. Actually, picking up where we left off this morning, the 6th chapter of John. Don't go there. I'm going to the 13th chapter of Genesis tonight. Remember, we said that that was a watershed chapter, and that from the time that Jesus really put it to them that they had to partake of his flesh and drink of his blood, that many went forth and walked with him no more. Decision time. Choices. I want to continue tonight in our study of Abraham, the life of Abraham, next several weeks, just little vignettes or thoughts from Abraham's life. Tonight, from the 13th chapter, some choices, the way that Abraham made his choices. If you want to read ahead, you can tell what I'm going to do. Next week, I think I'm in the 15th chapter, so at least that's where I'm planning to be. And you study Abraham, you can probably get a better sermon than I can. Tell me about it. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Father, we pray that you will touch our lips once more, touch our ears to hear. We pray that you will have your way in our lives and in this service. Amen. I said I want to talk briefly this evening about choices and decisions. Actually, continuing on the thought, basically, two things. We have this big yes to say to God, and then tonight, carrying on the day-by-day surrender. After we've left our father's house and left the land of Haran, going on toward the promised land, the choices that we make. Actually, when it comes to making choices, we don't have much to say about some of the things that we would consider the most important factors of our life. Nobody asked me if I wanted to be born. Nobody asked you if you wanted to come into this world. Nobody asked you where you wanted to be born or what color you should be. Nobody asked you what your IQ should be or whether you should be born into a wealthy family or a poor family. Nobody asked you whether you should have kind parents or parents that abused you. Just so many things that we just don't have any control over. But in the life of this man that lived 4,000 years ago, this man Abraham, I'd like to focus just briefly on some choices that we can make, choices that he made, and he made them right. And if we make some of these same choices right, by faith, Abraham was the man of faith. We're going to be talking more about faith, even more next Sunday night. Talking about these choices, if we can make these choices right, we'll certainly be on our way to the greatness to which God calls every one of us. Because remember, Abram's call, Abraham's call, is your call and my call. God wants us all to be great. Now, this chapter 13 doesn't contain, of course, all the choices that Abram made. But I do believe it's typical of the man, Abraham. Maybe you don't think the choices I'm going to pick out are important. I do think they are. I think they typify this man's spirit. The first thing I see here, you know the story. I read it, took time to read the whole story. Abram was a rich man, wealthy in both silver and gold and in cattle, and land was important to keep the cattle on, and there just wasn't enough land to sustain both Abram and his nephew Lot. And so there came a division between the herdsmen, and in verse 8, Abram sensed that there was trouble brewing. Never says that he disagreed with Lot at all, but before trouble came up, Abram said, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee." And Abram, this simple man, chose to be open and straightforward in his dealings with his brother and with his God. Now, this may not seem like a big choice to you, but when I hear the word simple applied to faith and straightforward, when it's applied to dealings with other people, I take it as a high compliment. There are a lot of people who are sensitive, very sensitive people. You know, we've got a lot of prima donnas around here. And we are very sensitive to our own feelings and to our own rights. Everyone likes to be appreciated. There's nothing wrong with it. Sweetest sound you'll ever hear probably is your own name and someone saying, "I appreciate that person." And yet, isn't it wonderful when we run across someone who's actually concerned about how others feel and is sensitive to the needs of others? And this choice that Abram made was because he felt there was trouble maybe brewing, he was going to keep the lines of communication open. He was going to love this man. And he said, "Let there be no strife between you and me." How important is that? I believe it pays to keep our spiritual debts paid up and our line of credit short between ourself and our fellow man. It may be important, some of the issues that we're reading about and debating about, these big national things, whether Burt Lance is going to resign or so on, or whether Jimmy Carter is doing enough for the poor people. But you know, it's important whether or not you and your roommate can get along as Christians. It's important whether that neighbor next door that just is hard to live with can make you act like anything but a Christian between the times that you're here in church. You're laughing because I'm getting down where you're living. And you know, we really can't be God's man. We really can't be great and answer the call to greatness and hate anybody. Now you think about that. You say, "Well, he just rubbed me the wrong way." Well, the way personalities are made, you're going to like some people better than you like other people. And Abram said, "Let there be no strife. Let there be no strife." Oh, how important it is. If we're going to see revival, we're going to have to be honest and straightforward in our dealings with each other. And if there are disagreements, we're going to have to be... I'm not asking us to be Casper Milquetoast and say, "Look, I, it's okay, just do anything you want to do." But we can be out and out about it, straightforward. It also pays to stay prayed up in our walk with God. It's hard to pray over areas of our lives that aren't surrendered. It's impossible to be blessed when we're living in disagreement with the Word of God. You can just feel the spirit of Abram. He was a simple man in his faith, and he walked humbly with his God. He chose to be open and straightforward in his dealings. Let there be no strife between us. It wasn't because he was a sissy either. You read the next chapter. He took, how many was it? I can find it here. 380 men pursued after some people that got his nephew in trouble, and he took them back. So he wasn't that he was afraid to fight. He just didn't want to fight. Then the second thing I see is verse 9. He said, "Is not the whole land before us? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right." Abram also not only was open and straightforward, but he chose to be humble in his spirit. He said, you go ahead, I'll take what's left. You say, well, you're telling us if we're going to get ahead in this world that we should let other people walk over us. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that it's important that we seek a spirit of humility. Abram was a wealthy man. It says here, Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. You don't get wealthy without some diligence and some application. He spent a lot of time with his wealth and developing his wealth, no doubt about it. And yet he was not only wealthy, he was humble at the same time. That's a rare combination. Not really all that rare. I know a lot of Christians that are God has blessed and yet stayed humble. But you know, Jesus spoke about the deceitfulness of riches. You say, it doesn't any problem of mine. I'm not very wealthy. I'm not so sure it isn't. For it's a real danger to everyone. We're all ready to serve the Lord if it doesn't cost us any loss of comfort. That's what I was talking about, Ray, as you were singing this evening. If I have to change sunshine for rain, if I have to give up some things that other people can just count on as necessities, anything it takes, that's what Ray was singing. I wish he could sing it again right now and I could just let that be my part of my message. Abram learned that lesson. I think of Tom Long, who just was here in prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago. His mother on her deathbed dying of cancer. And he knows full well that when she dies, he can't come back across for her funeral. And yet not going away with a sense of sacrifice or weeping, but just saying, Russ, you take good care of my mother. She's in God's hands, and say goodbye and go joyfully. We don't know anything about sacrifice. That's what it takes. People were genuinely more important to Abram than things. We need to use things and love people. And he lived by this principle. He was wealthy and he knew what he needed to maintain that wealth, but he said, I'll put my wealth second and I'll put these principles first. God help us to have a set of principles to which there are no exceptions. Satan's always coming along and say, just take a little detour. Just a temporary setting aside of the rules. I'll tithe when I can afford it. I'm a student now and I don't have much money and I can't afford to give God his tithe. Let me tell you a little secret. You can't afford not to. And if you'll give God his tithe faithfully, God will honor that other 9/10. It belongs to God too, by the way. You say you're just interested in getting more money in the collection plate. Or you can say whatever you want to say about why I'm preaching that, but I believe it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet that if you honor God and don't make exception, God will see you through. Don't compromise your principles. Oh, I want to hurry along here. I'd like to dwell on that tithing. Every Nazarene preacher likes to preach tithing, you know. It's funny when we get in these union services around Thanksgiving time, they always want the Nazarene to take up the collection. I don't know why. I guess they think we know how to do it. The last thing I see here briefly is that Abram, finally, he chose to continue a life of faith. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. It wasn't because that was all that was left, but it was because where God had sent him. And on the front of the bulletin last Sunday was that the portion from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And you know, even though Abram lived in the land of Canaan, in the land of promise, there was a sense in which Abram never really had a permanent home. He never really arrived. And yet, he walked in fellowship with God. I don't know what all application I can put on here of never having arrived except to say, I feel that's where I live. I'm living in the land of Canaan, but I don't think I've arrived yet, you know. God isn't done with me. And there are a lot of things I see that I'd like to improve on, but I intend to keep walking with the Lord and letting Him move in my life and stay sensitive to Him. The beautiful thing about it is, even though Abram lived in tents, looking forward to that city with solid foundations of which God himself is both architect and builder, God continued to oversee his decisions and his choices. Abram made the right decisions and the right choices. Nobody's smart enough to know all the right moves to make, all the right decisions, down to the little details. And sometimes, someday, you're going to make a little tiny decision, change a class, change a job, answer a telephone and say yes or no, and it's going to mean all the difference in your life. It's going to mean a difference in your destiny. You say, how will I be sure I make the right decision when I don't even know when that decision will come? I can say you can walk by faith like Abraham did in the land of Canaan. No man is wise enough to know what to do for all of his lifetime, but Abram was wise enough to obey God. As we'll see in the next few Sunday evenings, every major decision that he made, God guided him and kept him steady. And finally, Abram knew the delight of God's approval. The Lord said to Abram after this was all over and Lot had gone and the dust had settled and Lot was off there in the lush plains. God said, Abram, lift up your eyes and look to the north and to the south. You know, you've chosen to be a humble man and a straightforward man and a man that walks with God. I want you to know I'm pleased with you. And I'm going to continue to bless you. Have you ever known the delight of God's approval? Sense that maybe you're not done and you haven't arrived, but still God says, I'm proud of what you're doing and I'm going to be with you. Most of the things that people think are important are beyond our choice. But you know, we can choose the things that really do make all the difference. We can walk humbly with our God. We can keep the line short. We can stay open to the Holy Spirit. I pray that God will help us, like Abram, to make these choices. I haven't preached evangelistically all day today, and this isn't an evangelistic service, and I'm not going to sing a hymn of invitation tonight. But I'd like for us to sing again that hymn we sang last Sunday night, number 397. Where he leads me, I will follow. Let him make the choices. I'll go with him all the way. Child of God, is that your testimony this evening? I can hear my Savior calling.